Mr. Tim Stannard, writer for 442 and other footballing websites and papers around the globe, joining me here on World Football Daily. Tim, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. How are you today?
I'm not so bad, yourself?
I'm very well indeed. Very well indeed. Thoroughly enjoyed my weekend in Madrid. And what a weekend it was. Atletico breaking the 14-year duck, if you will, and finally toppling Real Madrid and in the Copa del Rey final. It doesn't get much sweeter than that for Atletico fans, does it?
No, I think they're very happy the way that it all went, especially doing it in the Santiago Bernabeu. I must admit, I didn't see it coming, because even during the day, just felt like it was going to be the same old Atletico Madrid. Looking at the team sheets, you saw that Real Madrid's one was just superior to Atletico's, and Diego Simeone said that before. But rather than the Atletico Madrid, which has played Real Madrid over the past 14 years and missed out every time, it was the one which played the two Europa League finals and the Super Cup final as well. It was that kind of hardcore, serious, professional, disciplined one, which held in there. Even though they went 1-0 down, they just came back, and it was Real Madrid who unravelled somewhat surprisingly. I think what happened on the bench with Jose Mourinho happened to the team as well. They just fell apart at the end when they realised things weren't going for them.
It looked all so smooth and calm for Madrid up until they took the lead. Atletico looked kind of in disarray and pushing forward kind of frantically without really a system at first. And then after about 20 minutes or so, it almost seemed that the switch seemed to just flick. And Atletico suddenly looked cool and in control, and that led to Diego Costa. Do you think that Atletico kind of managed to just focus themselves in the heat of the moment after Ronaldo gave Real the lead?
Yeah, they sort of became the Atletico we know they are. The one that, again, everyone thinks that they got this perception of, when it comes to it, Real, Atletico Madrid choke, but they don't. They've done tremendously well all season to come third, where everyone thought there was going to be this was the one they're going to lose, this one they're going to plummet down the table, it was all going to collapse. But again, it was the one I said earlier, which has done so well in previous finals, and the Europa League final, the UEFA Cup final, and the Spanish Super Cup final, and the European Super Cup final, rather, against Chelsea. And this is the one which was missing perhaps for the first 15 minutes, and then realised, you know what, we can take this lot, and they did.
You know, this Atletico side, as I say, 14 years without a win against Real until this weekend. And what does that do for the legacy of Falcao at the club? He's won a UEFA Cup, a Super Cup, now the Copa del Rey, and he's beaten Madrid, or helped to at least beat Real Madrid. Something that Aguero, Torres and other great strikers at Atletico have failed to do.
I think it's going to be a weird one with Falcao, because I don't think that fans ever really took to him, in the sense that they never really thought he was going to be there long, because Jorge Mendes, his agent, has made it clear, and the club have always made it clear that as much as they'd like to keep him, he won't be around that long. He's just a passenger to be moved on, a meal ticket for many, many people, I think is the best way to describe Falcao. They probably had more affection for players, of course, like Fernando Torres and indeed Kun Aguero, who was there for some 5 years. They'll always see him as one of their own, and players like Diego Forlan as well. So Falcao, there'll always be a lot of, you could say, I think, respect for him, but maybe not a huge amount of affection. So if he moves on, they'll just shrug and get a replacement. They've lost many forwards over the years. They've managed to get another one in.
And now maybe a passing of the baton, if you will, as Falcao played that ball into Diego Costa. Will he be leading the line, do you think, for Atletico next season?
No, I think Diego Costa isn't perhaps a natural finisher. That was normally his goals are sort of bundled efforts, or he's there just to be the nasty piece of work, basically, in the forward line. So they will need another classy finisher, I think, to complement Diego Costa's very sort of bundled efforts, or he's there just to be the nasty piece of work, basically, in the forward line. So they will need another classy finisher, I think, to complement Diego Costa's very special skills, which is normally getting stuck into fights.
It was a tidy finish from Diego Costa, but did you feel that Diego Lopez maybe should have done better with that? He got a solid hand on it, and I know it was down to his left-hand side, but some people felt after the game that maybe Diego Lopez could have kept that out.
No, I don't think he could. I think he was he was left by his defence. One had gone to push up on Falcao, so he was on his own, and again, he was covering both angles, so he had to cover the entire goal to himself, and it was just a very, very perfectly placed finish, so I don't think so, no.
There's now the speculation around Madrid and their future. How do they come out of this this season where they've basically played second best all year. Jose's not going to be there next season. Is it 100%, as some people are suggesting, that it is going to be Ancelotti coming in, do you think?
I think so, yeah. Clearly, well, Florentino Perez admitted on Monday evening that there has been an approach to speak to Carlo Ancelotti at PSG. PSG are playing a little bit of hardball as they're right and saying, no, we don't want him to go. We've still got another year of contract. But everyone knows it's just a matter of time before he does go. They just need a bargaining position, I think, PSG. So they're talking in the press today that perhaps one or two players might go over to PSG for a cheap value to help soften the deal. Someone like Pepe or Quintrao or Angel Di Maria perhaps will go over to Paris. But I think 100% certain that Ancelotti will be Real Madrid manager next season.
What do you think of the appointment or potential appointment of Ancelotti? Would this be the right move, do you think, for Real at this time when, as I say, it's been a very difficult season filled with being almost there in almost every tournament?
You kind of need someone like Manuel Pellegrini, but of course Florentino Perez wasn't too keen on him after just 1 year and got rid of him. But yeah, it's really hard to know what they want, to tell the truth. They go from a quiet manager to a noisy manager to one from who came from the club, to one with a lot of experience, to one who's pragmatic and get results. If you think about flitting between Capello and Schuster and then Pellegrini and now Mourinho. So yeah, they're going to try Ancelotti now, who again has a huge amount of experience. He is a calming figure, perhaps, in the dressing room and with the media. And that's what's wanted, I think, at the moment. I think Florentino Perez, as well as wanting his Champions League, wants a quieter life than he got with Mourinho.
It's not been quiet at all with Jose. At least, though, for Real Madrid fans, they'll be pleased to see that the club aren't spent shelling out a load of money to remove Jose. How difficult do you think has it been to find this amicable parting? Or do you think it was, at the end of the day, both sides respected the fact that this was needed for both manager and the club?
Yeah, the weird thing is that no one's really asked, well, they've asked him, hasn't really given an idea of why he actually extended his contract to 2016. When he actually had one to 2014, which is already a very long time for a coach like Jose Mourinho. But it could have been a lot worse for Real Madrid. They could have put themselves in a position where Mourinho said, I'm not going anywhere, I'm going to stay out unless you want to sack me, in which case it would have been a hefty payout. So, both sides are either winners or both sides are either losers in this one, I'd say.
Florentino Perez has had a number of managers in his time.
Real Madrid president, you have to have been a socio or a member for 20 years non-stop. You also have to have 60 million euros lying around in your bank account, which in theory fronts a deposit. So the idea is that people don't just come along and take the club for a ride. You have to be rich enough, basically, not to want to steal from it. That's the theory behind Real Madrid presidency, and because it has happened in the past. So he'll stand without anyone there. So the elections are due on the 16th of June, and just reading today, if no one stands, he'll be automatically re-elected on June the 2nd, and Ancelotti perhaps to be unveiled on the June the 3rd.
It would be quite a nice unveiling party then for Perez to start with bringing in Ancelotti, but he's spent a lot of money during his time as president as well. Are there no raised eyebrows about the amount of money? I think I read today it's 86 million euros for every trophy that's been won under Perez.
They've actually managed to offload quite a few players as well. So if you think about players like Schneider and Robin as well, they went for quite a bit of money and the Diarras. So actually, I believe over last year, they actually made money because they actually spent not a great deal on footballers. But yeah, certain players like Quintrao have cost a lot, and Di Maria, and people are questioning the value. But interestingly, on Tuesday, there's an editorial in AS, which is one of the big sports papers, that's very critical of Florentino Perez. That he's very good at raising funds. He's very good at getting, I suppose, political help. But he's a terrible sports manager, and he's a spendthrift as well, or rather a compulsive spender. So there's been a little bit of dissent around it, certainly, yeah.
Are there going to be many people that miss Jose at Real? He's won, I think it's 72% of his games as Real Madrid manager, which is second only behind Pellegrini in the kind of Florentino Perez era. So he has been successful in terms of he's brought them three trophies. He's won them at plenty of games. It's just unfortunate that it's been a time when Barca's been about and been this good.
Exactly. I think the question is, has Jose Mourinho left Real Madrid in a stronger position than when he found it? And the answer is a definitive yes. He would certainly have liked to have won the Champions League or another cup, or maybe a league title this season. But he's left the club in a better way. But the people who are going to miss him the most are the journalists, the Spanish media, who need scandal, they need gossip, they need someone outrageous, basically, to keep them going, which is why nobody liked Pellegrini on the ground. So Pellegrini didn't really say anything wrong about anyone. He's very polite. They'd lose the game and he'd say, congratulations to the opponent. I shake their hands. We weren't good enough on the day, clearly. There won't be any ranting about UEFA and UNICEF and things like that. And if Ancelotti comes, I imagine it's probably going to follow a similar path, that they're going to get quite bored with him very quickly. And the fact that he's Italian means if there's one sniff of a defensive lineup, he's toast.
But Ancelotti is a guy who would happily play that sort of lineup in the same way that Mourinho is happy to bank a 1-0 win with 20 minutes to go. And to obviously it helps that in La Liga, Madrid have been so dominant against so many sides. But Mourinho, in the same way as Ancelotti, is happy to take that sort of style. Is that maybe a bit unfair on Ancelotti then?
I think it's quite unfair on Mourinho. I think Mourinho has adapted his style to wherever he's played. Certainly for Inter Milan, he was like that. But Real Madrid couldn't hang on to a lead to save their life. And they were one of the leakiest teams you'll see for a while, especially as champions. What they did was the old-fashioned way of just trying to outscore the opponent. And that's the way that Real Madrid have always liked it. So I think Mourinho is actually quite adaptable. And I'm sure Ancelotti will just use the players he's got. If you've got defenders who like to bomb forward, like Sergio Ramos, and obviously you've got Ronaldo and players like that, then you just make the best out of the attack and just hope the defence holds up.
Will he have Ronaldo next year, do you think, Tim? Obviously, there was the petulant kick-out in the Copa del Rey final, the red card, and really a game that he'll want to forget that night. Will he want to be around Real next season, do you think?
I think so. I think he'll have a look at what are the prospects are there that, of winning the Champions League and winning titles, and the other one's Barcelona. He's not going to go there. And so I can't think he's going to be tempted back to Manchester United, who haven't really got the spending power of the past, especially with David Moyes in charge as well. So his mentor, Sir Alex Ferguson's not there. So I think he'll have a look around, see what's best for Cristiano Ronaldo and realise that staying at Real Madrid is best for Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's an interesting summer for Madrid. It's also going to be an interesting summer for Barcelona, lifting the La Liga title this weekend in the Camp Nou. A really nice moment having Abidal and Tito Villanova lifting it as opposed to Puyol after he handed it over to them.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those forgotten titles, which is a bit of a shame. One of those underestimated, mainly because Mourinho gave up back in December. It doesn't mean that Barcelona didn't still have to win the thing, and they what they can do with 100 points, which is what Madrid got last season to break all the records. And I was there at the Atletico game a couple of weeks ago when Tito Villanova spoke about it. He said the hardest thing was realizing that Madrid had perhaps given up, but just having to maintain this 11, 12, 13, 14 point lead constantly, keeping up the tension, keeping up the momentum without allowing anyone else a sniff to get in, really. And he said that was quite a challenge.
It's you say it's been a forgotten one. Is that because of everything that's happened with Spanish football this year in terms of what's happened in the Champions League? Because, as you said, it was a slightly easier win. And because we've seen Madrid toppled in the Copa del Rey as well, there's been so many other factors that have overshadowed this impressive season.
Yeah, the Champions League really is going to overshadow the league title win. But, only Madrid and Barcelona can win the league, so I guess you have to look at all their title wins now and go, and so what? You didn't really have to struggle. Titles have been won normally because the other side couldn't be bothered. That was perhaps the case last season with Real Madrid when Barcelona's away form, it was pretty dismal. It was a fairly unmotivated side, and Barcelona came back with a vengeance, and they had one of the best first halves of the season in Spanish history, which is what won the title. Whereas Real Madrid were the one travelling away from home, losing to Getafe, and they just didn't look like they wanted it. And that was Jose Mourinho's complaint. So in a way, we haven't had a decent title race for a while. It's always been down to the other team's inability to compete.
There's still a great race going on at the bottom of the table. And of course, for that fourth position in La Liga as well, as we come to the last 2 weeks of the season. Valencia or Real Sociedad, who's going to win out overall, especially when we look at Sociedad playing Madrid this weekend?
Yeah, this is the unknown match, really. It depends whether Madrid are going to, as Jose Mourinho promised after the Copa del Rey game, do their duty and try their best in every game. And it's whether Real Sociedad have got the nerve and the stamina to keep things going. But sadly, no offence to Valencia, I think it is going to be Valencia. I think they just got a momentum, and they're not a pretty or exciting team to watch, but I think they're just going to pull out the 6 points they need. And I think Real Sociedad might drop points at the weekend. I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. I normally am wrong, but I think it's going to be Valencia.
Who's going to be taking those relegation, what looks like will be the 18th place, the final relegation spot? We've got Deportivo down there, Osasuna still down there as well, in touching distance of Zaragoza, who are there in 18th place at the moment.
Well, I've been having a look at that today, to have a look at who the final two matches are for everyone. And I think Celta Vigo and Mallorca are the teams that need to win their matches and rely on all the other teams messing up. So I think those two are gone. Looking at the table, it's going to be Deportivo. They've got some really tough matches to come. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're playing at Betis and Real Sociedad, which is going to be difficult. And I think that could see them. Whereas teams like Zaragoza, I believe they've got Granada, so yeah, Getafe thrown in there, where Osasuna on Saturday or Sunday, they're playing Sevilla. And Sevilla have won one game in 18 away from home. So that should get them 3 points. So I think it's going to be Deportivo.
It's going to be an interesting still finish in La Liga. Plenty still to fight for, pride, if anything, for a number of these sides in a Champions League spot and relegation places as well still to be decided. Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you so many times this season on World Football Daily. We look forward to getting into chatting with you in the off-season as well as we work out who's going to take over Los Blancos and where the big moves in Spain and who are they going to be the bigger rivals coming into the country as well, as well as the Neymar debate still to go. Just quickly, is it Neymar, is his name plastered on Barcelona's walls, or are Madrid going to hijack this one?
I think it's going to be for Barcelona. I don't think Madrid need him particularly, but it's immensely complicated, isn't it? Because it's not just a case of going up to the club with a load of money and saying, right, we'd like this player, you accept the offer. You've got to negotiate with so many agents, so many marketing campaigns, so many different people. And I'm very suspicious about Neymar's ability to perform in La Liga. I think expectations are going to be so high that he's going to find it very hard to deliver. And on a quick side note to do with that, if you think about the great Brazilians of the past who've done well, it's Ronaldinho and the original Ronaldo. They spent time at PSV. They spent time at Paris Saint-Germain as well to sort of get used to the European way of playing. And they succeeded, where Robinho also played for Santos, came straight to Real Madrid with a similar reputation to Neymar, and just never really settled. And the same could happen to Neymar, I think.
It'll be very interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with this Neymar transfer scenario as we continue into the summer. Tim, an absolute pleasure to have a chat with you today, mate. And we look forward to getting you back on the show as soon as possible this summer.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers, Tim. Tim Stannard there, Mr. La Liga Loca, joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things Spanish football. We had the Copa del Rey final on the weekend. We had Barca lifting the La Liga trophy as well. Valencia with that big 1-0 win against Getafe.